You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Amazing. So we have amazing updates from our pastors and then also the team in São Paulo, and it's just so, I'm so blessed to know that there's just so many things going on in the Spirit with the Lord breaking ground, with new relationships the Lord spoke to us, that He's going to establish new relational connections in 2020, and that has already happened. So this is Pastor Bill and Pastor Marie Pat with Andrew Fanstone, who is the director of Iris Brazil, and they're in Fortaleza, so they were able to connect with him and have a lot of time with him. So if you want to go to the next picture. So there they are enjoying some coffee at the base. A lot of times the Lord does connections supernaturally with Pastor Bill over coffee. This is Tom and Virginia and their 15 adopted kids and two of their biological ones. And one of the reasons why they adopted this many kids is that in Brazil, they for some reason, they couldn't either like take them out of the U.S., not out of the U.S., but somehow they couldn't have an official children's home. To have a place for them, they said you have to adopt them. And so they're like, all right, we're going to adopt them. They're part of our family, which is just amazing. So there's some time with them. And then this is a little prayer house that the kids gather in. And a lot of times there were some testimonies that they were sharing with Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, just some of the dramatic encounters that they had with Jesus in this location. And obviously we are, it's Pastor Mary Pat and our friend there, enjoying delicious cashew fruit attached. And so some of those you don't know, we also have land in Ghana, Africa, in Saula, and we have almost 1,000 cashew trees that are growing. They're still like that tall, but they're going to grow, and it's going to be an amazing time of just kingdom micro enterprise. Next picture. And there's Pastor Bill and Pastor Ray Pat and that amazing dude with the mustache there in Iris Fortaleza. And then they're saying goodbye to their Fortaleza family. And then this is Pastor Ray Pat. We are always together. They translated my Portuguese post. So this is Pastor Ray Pat, and that is Inez Nunes, who is the director of Frontline Brazil. And that they're sharing there in our worship center there. And right there is Pastor Ray Pat and Pastor Bill on the street. And that building to the left there is our Frontline Worship Center. And right across the street, about four steps away, is that is Iris Brazil's São Paulo, you know, base that Pastor Joseo has. So it's an amazing partnership right there across the way. And yes to Jesus in the cities of God. So they're pouring out more of the Lord's love. This is Pastor Ray Pat receiving a powerful prophetic word from, I believe, the guy's name is Vinicius there in the white. And he's a spiritual son to Pastor Bill and Pastor Ray Pat. And I've had a good, amazing connection with him over the years in Brazil. Next picture. Obviously, releasing the fiery love. This is Casa de Jesus. This is Pastor Jerseo's church in Heliopolis. Pastor Jerseo comes and speaks here every year at the Relentless Pursuit Conference. And we've been partnering with him since 2004. Over 16 years, which is amazing. So more of the fiery love of Jesus being poured out. Next picture. Pastor Bill sharing at a different church in Heliopolis. Next picture. And so that is our worship center. That whole second floor is brand new. Still think they're still working on the ceiling. And you know what's crazy is all of this started out. See that little house to the left? That little lighter gray area? That's what it started out as. And then it went to the right. And then it went up, and then it expanded, and it's just crazy how the Lord's almost quadrupled the whole size of it for what he's releasing. Maybe it was a little section. Yes, it went down, and then it went up. Yeah, it's six times the size of it. So there's another shot, the second story there. All right, and then before we get into this, I just want a couple of the written updates, and all of these actually are posted on our Facebook page. So if you guys want to share what the Lord is doing, you can just go to our Frontline Facebook page and just share that as a post to kind of get word out to people of what's happening in Brazil. So last Sunday, They worshipped at the Brazilian church family at Costa de Jesus. Pastor Mary Pat gave a powerful message out of John 7:37 and 39 about staying thirsty for his living water by receiving and walking in the Lord's supernatural love. He also spoke about the wedding feast and about Jesus being the first priority in our life. Many were deeply impacted, of course, as Pastor Mary Pat prayed over the congregation. And then at the same time, part of the team was blessing the children out of Luke 14 as well. And then last Sunday evening, they went to two different churches, and they shared about just the Lord's goodness. And one of the amazing things is that as the pastors meet up with the team there, and they're doing that today. Today they're going to four different churches today. There's two this morning and two this evening. And so they take the team and they kind of split. And Pastor Brill takes one church and some of the team, and Pastor Murray Pat takes a church and some of the other team, and they spread out. And so this week here, our frontline team, all the week they've been ministering in City of God and Heliopolis, having a children's program. And so if you go through, there's just a bunch of pictures of them doing dramas, skits, spending time with the Lord, pouring out his love in their presence. And then if you just want to advance quite a ways there, they did something amazing this week. I don't know if it's ever happened in Brazil with the children, but they washed the children's feet as part of a time of soaking. So there's some pictures of that. So obviously this here, when we're soaking, we're just taking time, spending the time in the Lord's presence, just resting before him, praying over the kids. Which a lot of these kids, I mean, think about this. These kids that we're ministering to, they're literally living in an environment where drugs are being trafficked on the street, like, what, 2 minutes outside the door from this place. People are getting shot in front of them. They're abused. It's just an incredible, and this is a favela. Don't let the fact that, I don't know how to describe this other than when we've been in Brazil and that people, Brazilians have asked us, where are you staying? They're like, oh, we're staying in Heliopolis in City of God. And they're like, what? Like, that's literally going to like the most dangerous part of Brazil, the dangerous part of Sao Paulo, like danger areas where not to go. It would be the exact areas that we're in and the Lord is releasing these things. So these kids in this tough environment, it's so amazing to see the Lord using us to reach out and touch them and pray for them and encourage them. It's just such an amazing testimony of the Lord's faithfulness. And so as you can see, they had all week, our team had all week with these kids, just praying into them, sowing into them the truth of Jesus and who he is. And obviously there's Haley ready to bless them with drinks and snacks and all of that. So we're going to pray for them real quick as they're just releasing the Lord's goodness today in Sao Paulo. And so, again, I encourage you guys, there's so much stuff on the website to go through these pictures, to share them, everything. That's not Brazil anymore. There we go. There's the final one. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we just lift up to you, Father, Pastor Bill, Pastor Murray Pat, Father, and the entire team, Father, as they go out today, Father, to release your heart of love, Father, into the deepest, darkest places, Lord, into these churches, Father. We pray that you would give them a word in due season, even as they're probably ministering right now. This morning, Father, we're releasing, Father, fire. We're releasing healing. We're releasing grace. We're releasing increase. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that, Lord, there's no sickness, no disease, no infection, Lord, that you would supernaturally empower and, Father, strengthen, Lord, our leaders and our team, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just speak the same, Father, over Cynthia and over Troy. Lord, as they're heading up the team, Father, in, Lord, City of God and Heliopolis. And, Lord, as what they're heading into this week, Father, we're just believing, Father, for divine connections, divine relationships, divine appointments. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the honor and privilege that it is, Lord, to go out into, Father, the streets and the deepest, darkest places in Brazil and release your heart and release your love, Lord. And we're just so excited, Lord, that your name is being lifted up, that the testimony of who you are is being released, Father. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you guys to do a quick favor for me just before we release the kids. I know this might be a little bit of a stretch, but before we release the kids, I'm asking if you guys would like to move to the front, because the moment that the kids and the teachers go, this place is going to look like it's empty, and then we're all far away, which we can really gather close. So if you guys would like to do that now while we have Jamie come up, and if somebody wants to help me with the... So come on down. Kingdom kids, you are released. And other people, venha, as they say in Portuguese. Venha, venha, venha. Venha, 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 todas pessoas. Yes, Lord. Are you guys excited this morning for what Jamie is going to release from the heart of the Lord? Amen. Yes. Let's all stretch our hands out to Jamie. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for Jamie's heart of love, Father, her heart of compassion, Father, and her intimate heart with you, Lord, knowing that she above all things desires that you would receive all glory and honor and praise. And Lord, I just thank you this morning, Father, for a fresh word, Father, in Jesus' name, from your heart, Lord, coming through Jamie and who you created her to be. So, Father, we're thankful. Father, we're expectant. We're ready to receive. Lord, anything that would be weighing or hitting her down, Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that that'd be washed off, that that would be released. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for her heart, Lord, to really, really release, Lord, her husband, Mike, Father, to be ministering in Brazil, staying here, Lord, Lord, watching over the children. Father, we thank you that you're honored, Father, by her heart of worship and sacrifice. And Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you, and Lord, we're expectant this morning with joy, Lord, to see what you're going to release, Father, in Jesus' name, because you are good. In Jesus' name, so Lord, we just bless Jamie to be full of you, full of your spirit, and to fully release that which you have laid on her heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you for coming close. Than you were before. I have something fun to start out with, kind of on the coattails of Lawrence's message from last Sunday. How many of you were able to be here for Lawrence's message? It was good. I encourage you to listen to it and be reminded of the truth and look at the amazing scripture that was presented to us and that he reminded us of in Matthew 10. And if you were here, some things that I was highlighting, he was talking about getting us to a place where we fully rely on him, becoming completely dependent on the Lord. And so we went through Matthew 10 and painted a picture, or looked at the picture that was painted with the account of the disciples and Jesus's commission to them, and just to be fully reliant on God's provision and his supply to them as they go out and they preach the gospel. And so one of the things he was mentioning, there's more to that, so I encourage you to listen to the message, but part of it was too is, your plans aren't necessarily always going to be God's plans, and so to be in tune with him and follow him where he's leading. And so there's a really funny Christian meme. When I'm on social media, I'm not on right now, but there's one on Instagram. I don't know if they're able to pull it up really quick because it reminded me of some of the things you said. It was kind of fun. Are we good this morning? Are we excited this morning? I'm excited, and you should be too. Because not because of what I can do. Honestly, I can't do anything without Holy Spirit. But just because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And I'm really excited to dive into that this morning. And I will tell you up front, it's going to be pretty simple. But it's going to be totally profound. And it's going to remind you of the focus of our faith, where our faith begins, where it ends, and what it's all wrapped up in. And I love this morning's worship because it was singing about that. Victory has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. And so this morning is going to be all about Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do we have it yet, Andy? Okay. I'll just wait till that is pulled up. So when you have a plan, but God has a different one, who can relate to that? It just keeps on repeating, doesn't it? Wow, look at that. And for those of you that are listening to this, there's a little boy that's trying to aim for a higher hoop, and there's a smaller one next to him, and when he aims for it, it bounces off, ricochets off his head, and goes into the smaller one next to him. The kids, look at this up here. This is for all of you world changers, that when God has a plan, but God has a different one. So I thought that was fun just to start off this morning with. I'm going to pray again, actually. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this amazing morning. Thank you for all these kingdom warriors and children. Bless them, Lord, as they go and receive bread, the bread of life this morning. Bless the teachers, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you strengthen and encourage them as they're releasing hope and releasing truth and releasing life and releasing the way, the kingdom of heaven, God, from within them. And Lord, we just, we invite your presence to come into this place. Father, we invite your glory to come. We invite your spirit. We invite your presence. We invite your spirit, God. Come closer than you were before this morning. Come closer than you were before. Worship, God, in worship and after worship, even through the testimonies. We desire to be close to you. We desire to hear your voice. Come close, Father. Come close, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that every distraction in this place is bound. Everything that exalts itself above the name of Jesus is bound, and it comes crumbling down to the feet of Jesus in this place right now. Thank you that our hearts are ready, that our eyes are open, and that our will is willing to hear and willing to submit, willing to surrender to you, Father, this morning. Thank you for your words of life. Thank you, Jesus, that you will have your way this morning, that you will speak to our hearts like never before. Thank you for great revelation that comes from your throne and through your word, Jesus, that sets us free. Because when we know the truth will set us free. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that it says in Isaiah 66:2, Lord, that those with a humble and contrite heart, Lord, you look upon them. Father, those that tremble at your word, you show yourself strongly to, God. So we thank you, Father, that as the word is released this morning, that we tremble in awe, we tremble in fear, we tremble in wonder, Jesus, because of who you are. We tremble in your presence, Father. This is what we were made for. This is what we were made for. This is what we were made for. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the knowledge and wisdom of God. How unsearchable are your ways, Lord. How unfathomable are your judgments, God. For who has known your mind? Or who could become your counselor? Or who is first given to you that it might be paid back again? For from you and to you and through you are all things, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. From you and through you and to you are all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, I have to admit, I usually love to speak about books that I've been reading lately or ones that I've been diving into, but there is one author that I've been completely ravished by, taken over by, overwhelmed by, and it's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word. And I'm telling you, when you get into the Word, it changes everything. It changes everything. When you understand what he's saying and what he's speaking to his bride, what he's speaking to his children, it'll change everything. When you put aside everything else, and you lay before his feet and you say, I will be with you no matter what is going on. I will be with you, Jesus. I will be at your feet, Jesus. I will commune with you, Jesus, because from him it flows rivers of life. And he says to us in John 7, I heard this, was reminded of this scripture recently from John 7, 37 through 39, where he says, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. I will fill you up. If you're thirsty, come to me. And if we're not thirsty, then we won't be filled up. And so it's all about coming before him, making a point to come before him and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. In Matthew 5, 6, 3, he says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be satisfied. Righteousness is Jesus. It's him. Righteousness is a him. And when you come to him and you hunger after him, he says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to turn your world upside down sometimes. And everything seems like it's spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And bam, it just suddenly stops when we're like, whoa, Jesus. Okay, here you are, Lord. Here you are, Lord. You satisfy me. You satisfy me. And so I've come out of 2019 just really, oh my gosh, it's hard to put into words. And so I'm like totally relying on the Holy Spirit to help me describe the last year and what the Lord has been unpacking for me personally. And it started in many, there's many different points in trying to pinpoint a time where, oh Lord, you know, encountering him. And it's just been increasing and increasing and increasing. And a lot of it's been in the word. And over the summer, there was a scripture that I've always loved, but it's in 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul speaks about preaching nothing but Christ crucified. And he's speaking to them saying, when I've come to you, I didn't come with persuasive words or superiority of speech, but I came with the demonstration of power and of signs and wonders. I came with the cross. The reality of the cross is what I came with, and that's what you'll get, and that's what changes you. So he preaches nothing but Christ crucified. And so that just took me down a whole journey of exploring God's heart in a new way, and totally confronting any religion in my heart and any in my thinking. And we hear it often here, and it can be best simplified and described as our thinking, man's thinking, religion. Religious thinking is just a phrase that we use in the church sometimes, and it just means our thinking, our ways, what we want, what we do, and we say that it's him, but it's not, right? So I read, there was a time recently where there was some circumstances going on with Mike and I, or just in our lives, you know, and things just coming up and like, oh my gosh, now this, or oh my gosh, now that. And I came to this verse in James, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation, and it's going to be put up here. But it's from James 1, verses 2 through 4. And it says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. I love that. But I love the first part of it where it challenges us. And it says, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, I'll just add this in there because this is the Lord's heart. In life in general, no matter what's going on, trials, tribulations, our own failures, or triumph and victory and breakthrough. Consider it the best opportunity and an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. And what I love about this is that what it's saying is it's pointing to the cross. It's pointing to the finished work of the cross. And not settling for anything less than that. In our thinking, in our whatever the enemy comes and tries to persuade us with. If you think about it, where the enemy first on earth anyways, with Adam and Eve, he came with a persuasive argument. Is really what was happening there. When you think about what a lie from the enemy, this is really good when I began to understand it this way and Holy Spirit revealed this, is that it's a persuasive argument to convince you otherwise of who God is and his nature. That's what a lie is. isn't that awesome? Because it's like, okay, wait a second. So you mean you're trying to come at me, a child of God, betrothed to Jesus with Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of me, and you're trying to convince me otherwise of who I am and who he says he is? And when you realize that, the buck stops there. And everything on the inside of you that's been questions, wondering, or all the circumstances, the weight of all of it, it loses its weight completely when it's confronted with who he is and what he did. Oh, we're going to get into this morning. We're going to go a lot further into what the cross is and the finished work of the cross. But when the enemy comes and he tries to steal things from us and he tries to sow lies into our hearts, it's because he hates us. You know that he is tormented. The enemy is. He's in fear all the time, and he's tormented, and he wants us tormented too. That's his job. And he hates us because we're God's children. And so he'll try anything, and especially Christians. Accusation, condemnation, guilt, and shame, those are like the highest things that he'll come and just craftily try to sneak in with. But when you know the truth will set you free. When you know him, it'll set you free. And the reality of the cross is able to confront that, those lies. And that happened recently for me a couple of weeks ago where there was a situation where I came. There was a loving moment from Holy Spirit that brought correction to me with Holy Spirit through a situation. And it was so good because rather than taking maybe a couple of days or a week to like, think, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I, oh, this, that, and the other? It took like an hour to go to Holy Spirit and have him reveal to me, hey, this is just the enemy trying to accuse you. This is the enemy trying to bring something up from your past. And now you get to see it for what it is. And you get to repent too from getting offended at the situation. But you also get to see where the enemy is crafty, and you don't have to be ignorant of his ways any longer, and see him for what he is and what he tries to do. And it was amazing. It was so helpful. It was so freeing, because it was like, oh my gosh, yes, Lord, forgive me for thinking that, and I'm free. I'm free. So I want to go to actually, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And all of this is, bear in mind, this is all, I want to say one thing. Before you put that up, take it down really quick. I was writing my message notes out, and when I put the date at the top, it was 2/2/2020, which I was like, oh, there's got to be something prophetic about that, something to encourage me, Lord. And as far as I understand, I'll take it anyway from Holy Spirit if it's not the meaning. But two can mean union, union between us and Jesus, our betrothed, and or between a man and a wife. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord! And then I was writing some of these scriptures down, I was looking at some of the passages I felt the Lord lay on my heart, and it was a lot about being in union with God's Son because of the cross, but also the word co. And a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Mary Pat was preaching, either it was 2 Timothy 4 or it was Galatians 2:20, and she said that in the Strong's dictionary, which has a lot of unpacks the meaning of the Hebrew and the Greek and everything, and the word co denotes union. So I was like, yes, Lord, you're speaking to us this morning about being in union with you, co-buried, co-raised, and co-crucified with you. So more about what the Lord's been unpacking a couple of weeks ago. I shared this in God Connect, actually, and I was telling the kids, we went over this amazing, I wouldn't even call it a lesson, just we talked about this amazing truth that's like the bedrock of our faith. And during service, I was sitting down, and it was Pastor Bo was preaching, and it was an amazing service. It was you know, there wasn't anything in particularly that was, I'll just say that. It was an amazing service. He prayed at the end. And as I was sitting there, what came up in my vision, like when I was closing my eyes and my imagination, was a picture of Jesus on the cross. And it was his profile towards me, looking at, like, it wasn't head on like we many times we picture the cross. It was his profile, and he was just hanging there, and the Lord prompted that in the middle of that time, and I just sat there and thought, okay, this is out of nowhere. It was in the middle of like a prayer that didn't necessarily have to do about the cross, Jesus hanging on the cross, Jesus shedding his blood, but it was him, you know. And I sat there and just welled up with gratitude in my heart. Like, how many times have I seen this picture? How many times have I looked at the cross? How many times have I heard the gospel? How many times have I, you know, gone to those passages where I'm reminded of his death and what he did on the cross? But in that moment, he did something profoundly deeper in my heart of, I carried your sin. And this passage that was highlighted recently, you can put it up, from 2 Corinthians 5:21 is absolutely, it wrecks me over and over and over again. It's probably one of the most freeing verses. There's verses that mark you. There's verses that the Lord highlights and that he'll just like, so good, that he'll just say, chew on this for a while. Chew on this for a while. And when you're going through stuff, just think about this. Just remember what I did. And it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I was thinking about this passage and, like, you became sin. Every part of your being, you became sin on the cross. You became my sin. Instead of thinking of it, which is good, you became the sin of the world. Like, the sin of the world, yes, we think outwardly. But when you think about him hanging on the cross and he became your sin, and he hung on that cross for you so that you could become the righteousness of God, so that you wouldn't have to be separated from the Father for eternity, that's going to change everything for you. When he hung up there, it wasn't about the terrible beatings that took place. It wasn't about the crown of thorns on his head, although that was terrible, and it was an excruciatingly a painful thing that he endured for us, as the lamb that suffered on the cross. But it was the separation from the Father that he stood in the place for us, so that no man would be separated from the Father for all of eternity. That's the finished work of the cross. That's the reality. That's the reality that we're living in. What Jesus did. What Jesus did. What did he do? What did he do so that we could become free? What did he do? He carried our sin. He became sin. He became sin. Do you see this? And so the Lord took it even further in that those encounters that I was having with the Lord and him becoming our sin and completely setting us free. And it was confronting things in my heart. It was confronting areas of my own thinking. It was because sometimes we think of sin as being, it can become this, it's a big thing. It's kind of nebulous sometimes. Sin, yeah, all those bad things, all the wrong things. Sin, that's what sin is. But when we start allowing the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, our helper, our greatest friend, to expose what sin is really. Fear. Fear. Intimidation. Offense. Bitterness. judgment, all of the things, all of the things, torment, anger, resentment, disappointment, dissatisfaction, all the things that we didn't have, all the things we felt that we didn't have, the Lord says, I'm taking it to the cross for you so that you are completely satisfied, you're completely fulfilled, you're completely made right with the Father. And we sometimes in this place, we often say, we're going to look in Romans 6, actually. And I'm going to actually start with that because the next thing I want to say goes with this. But open up to Romans 6 really quick. If you guys have your Bibles, this is good to see this on your own too. Because when we realize that instead of looking at the Word of God as a book of rules and like things we can't do or can do, and how close can we get to the gray line without crossing, and instead see it as like this holy invitation, a holy invitation from the author of reality, to come and dine with him, to come and be with him, to come and go low with him into the depths of his heart, into meekness, into lowliness, and die with him. And also sometimes I'm guilty of this, like we think of that phrase, die to yourself. You know, Paul says, I die daily. The guy knew what he was talking about when he was saying, die to yourself, I don't think the Lord meant for that to be like a cumbersome thing. Like, oh my gosh, I gotta die to my flesh again. I have to die to my flesh again. He's saying, no, you're not dying from something. You're dying to someone. You're dying to be with him. You're dying to come into union with him, to embrace him, to surrender to him, the one that you're meant to be one with. That's who it is. That's what it's about. So instead of thinking of this as like, oh, I have to go through this again. I've gone through another cycle of my thinking and, oh, this so-and-so did this and now I'm angry and I'm offended, or, you know, this came up in my life and it won't, if it would just stop, if all these circumstances would stop rising up in my life, my goodness, I could be happy. Where's the victory? Where's the breakthrough? And he says, we were singing it this morning. Victory is Jesus. Breakthrough is Jesus. The promised land has a name and it's Jesus. And he says, stop thinking about all those things. Let the weight lose its weight. Those things don't mean anything. Let it lose its weight in your life. I want to be the weight. I want to be the one that you're one with. And you see that I'm the one that satisfies you. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You will be filled. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come after me. And out of your being will flow rivers of living water, your innermost being. This is your reality. This is who he is. This is who you're called to be. This is who he says he is. So this is amazing. I'm so excited about this. In Romans 6, it says, what shall we say then? I love Romans. If you have not read Romans, and if you've not read specifically 5, 6, 7, 8, do it. Say, I'm going to commit in 2020 to read this book, to read what Paul was saying, because, oh, it's so amazing. He went around and it's basically, he's presenting the gospel to the Jews who were bound by the law, and he was presenting it to the Gentiles who were in the world and had their own customs and culture, and he's presenting it. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the victory. Let me show you what he did and why he's come for you. And so in Romans 6, it says, what shall we say then? In chapter 5, he talks about the cross and what Jesus did. But now he says, what does this mean for you in Romans 6? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Remember, think of sin. Don't think of it as like, think of it, all the things that you thought before, you know, what the Lord's revealed to you, but also all the other nagging things that the enemy can tempt us with, present us with, those convincing arguments and that the stuff that we believed. That's sin. So include that in this. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. There's one co for you. Co-crucified, thank you. I co-died and I'm co-crucified. Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him, co-buried with him, through baptism into death. This is a holy invitation to be in union with our betrothed, with the one that went to the cross, not just as our high priest. He was our high priest. He became the lamb slain, and he became sin. All of those things. So, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Everyone say new. No longer old. Oh, come on, new. No longer old. I'm no longer old. I'm new in Jesus because of his blood, because he bought me with his blood. He bought me with his blood. For if we be, verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This is the promise part. This is the good part. We die, yes, we die to him, but to be raised with him and live in newness of life and walk out what he's called us to walk out, to bear fruit and for that fruit to remain, that we would bear much fruit, that we would be the light of the Lord. And let me tell you something. Anytime that you encounter things, especially with other people, and you're like, I don't have the answer, you better take back those words. You do have the answer, and it's always going to be Jesus, no matter what. No matter what. I don't know what to say. I know what to say. It's Jesus, and he's what we need. And we unpack that, of course, and ask for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit always. So if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified, our old thinking, our old ways, what the stuff that the familiar things that would usually entangle us, our thoughts. Paul says in Romans 12 verses, do no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, taking every thought captive. That's a different verse, but taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and saying, that's not from the Lord. That's not from you, Holy Spirit. This is a delight, you guys. This is not cumbersome. Jesus is like, come into the joy of being co-buried, co-crucified, co-buried, and co-raised with me. Enter into your joy. Enter into the joy that was set before me at the cross. And he says, enter in. In order that our, this is verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin, from death. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. It is no longer master over us. Who's the master of your life? Freedom is obedience because Jesus is the master. For the death, verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. That's talking about delight. It's a delightful act of obedience, of trust in who he is. Trust that I can follow through with what he's calling me to. I can follow through with the word and do what my flesh do, the opposite of what my flesh wants, or your will or your emotions that aren't submitted to the finished work of the cross. And then it becomes delight because we really know Jesus. You can't be free unless you know the truth, and the truth has a name. It's Jesus. It's so good. So become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Say, I am a slave to righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. Marriage to Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We are free to follow him and obey him and trust him and rely on him, his ways, his thoughts, his motives, his feelings, his heart, his plan, his timing, all of it. It's him and it's his. When we live our lives eating every word that proceeds from his mouth rather than examining it, interpreting it for our own convenience, and we embrace his invitation. And we see it for what it is. What Jesus, our high priest, went in to unlock for us, to open a door to when he came out of that grave, when he plundered hell and came out of the grave and said, you have bold access to the mercy throne of God. So that every high and lofty thing that exalts itself above his name would come down low. But he says, thirst after me, hunger after me, hunger after righteousness. You'll be filled. That's where you're going to be satisfied. That's where you're going to be undone. If you could go to Romans 12. How many of you have your actual Bibles here? It's okay if you don't. Or you have your phones. But oh, we also have this trusty thing. Thank you. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So he's also saying here, you're going to be put on display for the world, for everyone to see that you're not moved, that you're not shaken. This is not a striving thing. It's a relying thing. Exactly what Lawrence was talking about last week. This is a trust thing. This is a leaning into Jesus thing. This is fully embracing him for who he fully is and what he became so that I could become, fully embracing that at the cross. And another scripture I want to go to is Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read verse 6 again. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Going on, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them. The same place that Adam and Eve had with the Lord. I always think back, it always takes me back to this, because I think, well, if I'm dying to you, and I'm dying from this past, sin, I always think back to the beginning. And I think about what it was meant to be, so that I can see what Jesus is calling me to walk in now. And it's in total union, total abandonment, total communion with him. When you think about Adam and Eve in the garden, and when he created them, it says in scripture that he walked with them in the cool of the day. He walked with them. I mean, imagine all the days that they had with each other, speaking to one another, God sharing his thoughts with them, speaking to them how beautiful they were, how amazing they were, as a father would to his child, picking them up, laughing with them, running with them, naming the animals, looking at his creation, seeing his purpose, seeing who he is, looking at all of it. And unfortunately, Eve forfeited that. With one argument that came her way. All it took was one argument, and it shattered from there. It all broke apart. One argument to convince her, did God really say that? Does he really mean what he says about who he is? Let me show you a better way. Let me show you what he didn't tell you. Let me show you what he kept from you. We can liken that to God's timing and his ways when we think about, well, Lord, you're keeping things from me. You're withholding things from me. You're not showing me my purpose. You're not fulfilling my dreams and the things that I'm contending for. And he's saying, I had a reason for why I said, don't eat the fruit. Don't eat the fruit. Don't go there. And when he came in and he saw what took place, his heart was so broken. His heart was, oh, guys, I told you not to eat it. I said to stay away. Oh, I love you so much, but I knew best. I'm your good father, and I know I was keeping you from, not keeping you. I was in my timing. I reveal all things in my way, and in the manner which is best for you, to prove my perfect will in your life. He had a plan. But it was derailed, and so Eve, when she took the fruit and she ate of it, and then Adam came along and he did the same. The good news is that Jesus, again, had a plan, and it wasn't plan B, it was still plan A, because it was his son Jesus that would come and that would take the place and show us what union with the Father looked like. What communion with the Father was demonstrated as with the religious, with the fearful, with the orphans, with the ones that were hopeless. And it all pointed back to the Father. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself, and he didn't even consider equality with God to be a thing to be grasped. And he humbled himself to he humbled himself to the point of death on a cross, being obedient to death on a cross. And he says, I love you so much. Every person in here today, I believe the Lord is speaking to each of us. I believe that if anything, it's right smack dab in the middle of where you are with the things that you're confronting in your own heart and in your own life, the things, the questions you have, the things that you're, okay, Lord, or where you might have resistance or where you might feel like you don't really want to get close to him. Because it doesn't seem like it's worth it to you. Maybe all you've tasted was the world, and he's saying, no, I'm actually calling you out of that place into a sweeter place, into a sweeter place of my presence and the fire and my glory, where you were meant to be. If we can see where we were meant to be, then we'll see that everything else is just like, it's trash. You know, I don't mean trash, but you know what I mean, the things that are of the world. Family, all, don't twist my words or confuse what I'm saying. I'm just saying it all, like Paul says in Philippians 3, where he says, I count it all as mere rubbish compared to the priceless privilege I have of knowing Christ Jesus, of knowing him. That's what I'm talking about. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing who he is. And so I want to, this morning, it's going along quickly, I think. Yeah. I want to actually provide an opportunity, and if it, we could actually put Romans 6 up there, or no, actually put 2 Corinthians 5:21 up there. And my heart this morning for all of us was for us to be encouraged and just see the reality of the finished work of the cross and what that. It's literally been changing everything for me. Everything in life, my time, my schedule, my marriage, being a mom, coming here and working in the office, giving my piano lessons, being with my family. It's changing everything. Where I'm just like, oh, Lord, I want to be one with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you're saying. Whatever it takes, Jesus, let me be a light. Let me go around and exude your glory. Whatever I do, where it's become my highest aim and everything else loses its significance. Being with him daily and dying daily. So now you're gonna change that phrase, die daily, die to yourself. That's gonna mean something different for you now. You're gonna wanna say it every day, all day. And it's gonna be so good because it means I get closer to Jesus. That's the point. That's the point. Not a cumbersome action that you take as a Christian because we're all called to it and the Bible says to do it, but it's I die to you, Jesus. I die to go to the depths of your heart to be one with you, Jesus, the one that I'm called to be married to, my bridegroom. This life is but a vapor and it will end eventually and eternity will be him. This is a foretaste. You are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And he's saying, don't shut me up. Don't grieve me. Let me come alive and let me come free. Let me become free and let me come wild in your life. Changing everything. Looking at the word through a different lens and saying, oh my gosh, Lord, this stuff is a joy. It's a joy and it's a delight. It's a joy and it's a delight to know you this way, to see you this way. And then when the suffering comes and when the hard things come, he says, consider it an invaluable opportunity for you to experience the greatest joy because I walk with you through all of it, through every minute of it, everything that you are asking God to explain himself on. In things in your life where you say, I want an explanation, God. And he's saying, Jesus is your answer. Look to him. Look in his eyes. Look at his eyes of fire and see, there's your answer. Be one with him. Die with him. Raise with him. Walk with him. And the Holy Spirit, a promise that I've given you, That's your answer right there. That's the answer. And he wants to relinquish all hopelessness today in any of your hearts, any of the questions that you're having, any of the unsettling in your heart. He said, be settled with the truth. Be settled with it and know who you are, that you're my child. I fought for you and I hung on the cross and I became your sin. I became your sin so that you would be right with God, so that the veil would be torn back, and as you turn to him, everything else would just fade. And the enemy comes trampling in to try to convince you otherwise, to say, oh no, just wait a second. You put your hand out and you say, I know whose I belong to. I'm a child of God. I'm his betrothed, and I'm going to the marriage supper of the Lamb one day. So back off, enemy, and don't convince me anymore. Don't bring your arguments to me. I'm done. And you say, you rebuke him. It says in scripture to resist the enemy and he will flee. But knowing the truth is the first step. Knowing the truth and realizing that, oh, he is more satisfying than anything you could ever try, you could ever taste of, a union with him, unlike your own marriage, unlike you know, seeing your child for the first time, one of the most greatest joys you can experience, or even seeing people saved. I mean, being in a crowd of thousands of people, that is elating, and it's our purpose, it's our joy. But he says, oh no, union with me is the most satisfying and gratifying thing you will ever experience. And he's saying, come into a new place. He's calling you by name. He's calling you by name. He's calling you Peter. He's calling you Michael, Harold, and Sandra, and he's calling Andrea and Andrew, everybody in this place. He says, will you be with me? Will you be with me? Let me reshape your reality. And it's going to start at the finished work of the cross. Isn't that amazing? That's the gospel. That's the good news that he's saying, here, it's yours. Would you rather read Fox News or the good news? Read the good news first and then read Fox News and pray. Please, oh God, pray. Okay? Yes, right? This message today should mean something when you turn on your TVs or when you open your newspapers, by the way. It'll change the way you read that stuff and the way you watch those trials. It's not going to be, oh, I'm definitely on their side. You know, I'm guilty. I mean, I was at my parents' like, oh, glued to the TV because it's captivating. It's like, what? Oh, my gosh, it's like a scandal. It's so scandalous. But the gospel is way more scandalous, and I'd rather be yoked with Jesus. And okay, let's take a break from that, and I need to pray for all of you. And Lord, God, have mercy. Please have mercy. Set our nation free, but set me free. Set me free. This is the best news you could hear. It starts here. Remember? Oh, the depth of the riches of both the knowledge and wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How unfathomable are his ways. Who could know the mind of Christ, or who has become his counselor, or who was first given to him that it might be given back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things, and the government is upon his shoulder. The foundations of his throne are righteousness and justice. Guys, promise is right here. The answer is right here. This is the answer. PMP showed a video a month or two ago, and it was the study about getting into the Word. And you know, statistics. Talk to Haley about that, or Carl. I don't know. I am not privy to that. But all I know is what I got from that, aside from the numbers, is that imagine if you had one thought of God a day, one thought of who he is and who you are. Imagine how that would change things. Imagine if you had two. Imagine if you had three. Imagine if you had four. Imagine if you had 20. You'd be unstoppable. You'd be relentless. You'd be a bulldog. You would tear it apart, and you would turn it upside down and explore it, examine it, and do it all over again, because you just can't get enough of who he is. This is how you were designed. You were designed for this. You are designed to crave after him. He mentions all the things in here instead of thinking of like, oh my gosh, this is a list of do's. He says, no, this is who you are. This is who you're created to be. This is like, it's in your fabric. It's in your DNA, actually. So I'm just speaking to it and breathing on it so you come alive. Come alive in Jesus. Come alive in Jesus. And every lofty thing that exalts itself above his name will come crumbling down. Co-buried, co-crucified, co-buried, and co-raised with him. The church is going to look a lot different in this new decade. He's already unpacking it. He's already doing it. There's not going to be division in the body anymore. The Lord is going to unite people. He's going to bring reconciliation. He says we're ambassadors of reconciliation. So if you find yourself doing the opposite, thinking the opposite, saying the opposite, twisting the opposite with people, with situations, in your sphere of influence, he says, hey, remember, you're an ambassador of reconciliation. And you're going to say, what was I thinking? What was I thinking in thinking that thought or presuming that or assuming that or sizing it up and judging that? What was I thinking? It hurts my Jesus's heart. It hurts the one that's living on the inside of me, the one that I have union with. I can't hear it. I won't listen to it. I won't talk about it. It hurts Jesus too much. And he'll become your prize. And I'm speaking to myself in that, like, oh. So I'm excited. This is in between last week's message, and I know next week is going to go a step further, but tomorrow has got to be the next step for you. Don't wait for Lawrence to preach on Sunday. Go in the Word and read these verses again. Tear them apart. Look at the ones that the pastors have been preaching recently. Go through 2 Timothy 4, Galatians 2:20, all these amazing things. They're not just... It's meant for us. And it's like, here, eat this food. Eat the bread of life. Don't snack on the other junk. Just eat of me. Consume me, all of me. Rachel, if we can cue up that song, I wanna allow an opportunity. If you need prayer, you're welcome to it. Obviously. But I want to provide an opportunity before we end here to commune with the Lord and to bring the things that he's stirring on in your heart to him, and present yourselves before him. Present yourself to him, to your Father. Present yourself to your bridegroom, the one that you're betrothed to. Present yourself to him. And don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this chance to commune with him. Let it mark you. The scars that marked him for eternity, the eternal scars that marked his hands and his feet. Let this moment mark you. Come close to him, the one that became your sin. He's saying, I did it for a reason, so you could come close to me. So what are you waiting for? What excuse could you possibly have? Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it keep you back. Come into it fully, relentlessly. Go ahead and cue it up, Rach. Please, thank you. I'm just going to pray. You can come up here. You can go back there. You can stay where you are. But get alone with him for just a couple of minutes before you leave here today. Father, just thank you. Oh, thank you for your words of truth. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. You're our prized possession. And your invitation, Lord, the fact that you would even invite us, Lord, the one that created the heavens and the earth, Lord. Father, that we would not take this message for granted, Lord, but when we think upon the cross, gratitude would fill our hearts, and we wouldn't consider this just a simple message that we heard when we were in fifth grade. But Lord, we see it as our reality, as the very thing that we should hang on every breath. Let it hang on this, Lord. Hang on this one truth of what Jesus did at the cross and what that means for us, Lord.
and that you're not condemning us, you're not badgering us, Lord, but you're saying, this is a sweet invitation. This is a place of rest. This is a place of peace. This is a place of joy. This is a place where I call you to inhabit with me in my presence in the depths of my heart. This is who you're called to. Don't snuff off the simple truth, the basic 101 verses. Look at them in a new light and in a new way. Thank you, Lord, for fresh revelation this morning. Thank you that you're opening our eyes like never before, Jesus, and that the lies of the enemy are crumbling down under the weight of your glory, under the weight of the finished work of the cross. Anything that stands in its way, Lord, it confronts the truth this morning, Lord. There's no standoff. There's no question. There's no doubt. Father, because you are the answer. You are the one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So wherever there's been confusion, or wherever there's been misunderstanding, Father, that you bring clarity this morning. Clarity of the cross, Lord. That changes everything for us. It changes everything, Lord. Because we're hidden in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We want to be found at the foot of the cross, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can just turn that up, Reach. Thank you, Lord.
Touch your heart. Jesus, you're beautiful.
Jesus, that wherever there is hopelessness, it's bound under the feet of Jesus. Wherever there's been demonic torment, Father, in families, Lord, or restlessness, Father, we thank you, Jesus, that it's bound in your precious and mighty name. And the blood, Father, that you shed on the cross, that you purchased us with, is completely cleansing our minds this morning, Lord. Completely, Lord, in Jesus' name, just bind all confusion, Lord, that has had its way. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you reign supreme, that you are the man on the throne, and every eye is upon you, and every song is about you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your delivering power, the anointing that breaks the yoke this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you release, God, and you loose that which bounds us, Father, binds us, Lord, and you release freedom over us, God, afresh and anew this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where the accuser of the brethren has come to steal our lunch over and over and over and over again. Father, we're saying this morning, no more in Jesus' name. No more this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And we come before your throne this morning and we repent and we bow low in your presence, Lord. Oh, because we can trust you, that you make us new, Lord. That you refresh us, God. You change our thinking, Lord. And you point us to your son, Jesus, and the cross this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the renewed mind this morning. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's in this place, Lord. This place of undeniable, undeniable conviction of who you are, that we're unstoppable in the world, Lord, because we carry your glory, because we carry your fire, Lord. But once we see you, Jesus, in the tomb and the stone that was rolled away, Lord, our tomb, we're coming out of our tomb because the stone has been rolled away and we're throwing the grave clothes off and we're coming into your marvelous light, Lord. And we're inviting other people into that place, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence, your faithful presence to us, your faithful nearness to us, God. Thank you for your friendship, Lord. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things, that shows us the way, our seal of promise, Lord, until we see you face to face. Oh, Lord, we don't take it for granted, Lord. We remember, Lord. We remember. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that just there's anybody thinking this thought that it's just, it's not that simple. The Lord's saying to you this morning, oh, it is that simple because I love you that much. So believe it, receive it, and go forward in this truth. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. He became your sin. He became confusion. He became fear. He became anxiety. He became torment so that you would not have torment. He says, be free this morning. Be free. Be free. Thank you, Lord. You are our joy and our delight. Oh, I promise you are. What a Savior you are. Thank you, Jesus. Just bless your name this morning, Father. We're so grateful that you showed up the way you did. You're going to keep showing up, Lord, as we leave this place. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your grace. Oh, thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your grace that makes it possible We don't have to try. We don't have to push. It's your grace, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Your grace. So that no one can boast in and of themselves because they can accomplish anything. It's your grace, Lord. It's your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That when we're sitting in the chair, you're not going to push us or move us, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you stir up hunger like never before. Stir it up, Lord, in this place. Thank you, Jesus. There would be no more resistance, God. No more resisting you. No more resisting the ones that carry you, Lord, that you've put in our lives, that you place there for us, Jesus. No more resisting, no more avoiding, Lord. We can trust you, Jesus. We can trust you, Lord. Father, I thank you for full repentance, that the full repentance will have its way, and there will be fruit, which is righteousness and holiness. So good. Thank you, Jesus. There's a man on the throne. Every song is about him. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. You're officially released. But you can stay and soak and be with the Lord. And if you need additional prayer, please don't leave this place without it. Bless you, beloved. Bless you, bless you, bless you, beloved. Children of God, bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.